Would you turn to 1 Samuel, please? 1 Samuel chapter 1. We are, I believe, on part 9 of this verse, Hebrews 11:32. I think, if I have my numbers correctly, this is the 9th sermon on this verse. And we normally don't move this slowly, but you can see there are a lot of names in this verse, and we've tried to kind of walk through and do life sketches of the folks who are named here. Hebrews 11:32 says, "What more shall I say? For time will fail if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel." Then it continues with the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. And then the passage continues, really speaking of groups of believers that have gone before us. But this last person, Samuel, he is the last one named specifically in what has been called the Hall of Faith that we have walked through since the beginning of January. And God has, through his word in Hebrews 11, given us so many examples of people who have gone before us. And really, the goal is not to look at the people and end there, but it's to look at their God and end with him. That all the things that they experienced in life and all of the faith that they showed and the variety of circumstances that we have studied and looked at, it was about God working in their life. And so we have this last specific individual. We're going to talk through more folks in the days to come from these specific groups. But we have Samuel. And what do we learn from Samuel's faith? Well, we would understand it falls under the general category of courageous faith. In the day in which he lived, he lived and he really trusted in God in a way that was clear. So he had courageous faith. But as we kind of focus in on one idea this morning, what I would like us to think about in regards to Samuel is a willing faith. A willing faith. A heart that says, as we even put with our memory verse or our verse theme for the week is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And not only listening, but willing to then follow through and accomplish whatever God asks of us. And I think as we look at Samuel's life, we can see a regular pattern from the time he was a young boy all the way through until his death, a heart that was willing to serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to say some things at the end of the message, but I think this is timely for God's church. I think really going to the scripture and looking at a person who, in the midst of hard circumstances, continued to serve the Lord, I think that is applicable. I know it is. It's applicable for us today. 2020 has been difficult. COVID has been difficult. And I do not want to minimize any part that people have experienced real hardship, real sickness, and then some real loss. And I don't want to minimize that at all. But we understand with the virus and everything that has happened, so much came about in our culture because of that. And the ripple effects go on and on and on. And part of the ripple effects is that every person has to still wrestle with this idea, am I willing to serve the Lord even in this circumstance? Now, before you check out on me, and if you're online, please know my heart. We're going to talk specifically at the end of some applications for this. But yes, it has been a difficult circumstance, but it does not mean we stop serving Jesus. We don't put our lives on hold in any season of time. It may change. It may look different. But just because the circumstance has changed doesn't mean our heart changes in what God desires for us. And so I hope this message will be of great encouragement to all of us who are here today and even listening online. God desires for us to have willing hearts, hearts that are willing to follow him and serve him no matter the circumstances. And that does take courageous faith. Now, I want to start and just kind of walk through Samuel's story. I think his story begins with a godly mother. So I want to start there, and then we'll move to two other portions of his life. If you would look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6, it says there, "Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb." Who is the person speaking of here in this text? It's Samuel's mother, Hannah. Hannah is in a situation, and just so you know, God never condones polygamy. That was never God's will or design. He makes it very clear in Genesis, one woman, one man, one lifetime. But because of man's heart, they did their own thing, and the applications of that went a variety of different ways, and polygamy was one thing that was the ripple effect of sin in the heart in this particular season of time. God did not condone it. He worked in the midst of it, but he did not condone it. So we have a family here where there were two wives. Hannah is one, and it says that the Lord closed her womb. Can I remind you what we have been learning through this whole series? God always has a plan. Hannah didn't understand that plan at the time. And we don't understand the plan before God brings that to fruition in our lives either. But God always has a plan, and God had this child of his in a situation that was very difficult and very hard. In fact, so hard that the other wife, the rival, as it says in verse 6, regularly would go after her and berate her, and because God had put her in the place where she had no children. And this was a hurtful situation, so much so that she would go yearly, as the text says, that she would go, in verse 7, it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. This was a regular hurt in Hannah's life by her own family members. And yet Hannah went to the right place. She sought the Lord. And that's where Samuel's story begins. He begins with a mother who was inclined to God in a hard situation, but she sought the Lord at the temple year after year, bringing her situation, just like David in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Bringing his complaint to the Lord. Hannah here, year after year, is bringing her situation, God, have you forgotten me? And we know now, and the scripture tells us all along, God never forgets any of us. God always has a plan, and he had a plan for Hannah. It wasn't probably the timetable that she desired, but God was working in her life. And from her heart that was inclined to seek the Lord and trust him year after year after year. Verse 9, it says, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly." You can understand from this text the impact of her circumstances on her life. She was weeping bitterly. This was a huge thing for her. This was a major hurt in her life. Do you have any of those? The circumstance was hard, yet her faith was real. She wept bitterly to the Lord. Verse 11, she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall not come on his head." So we have the beginning of Samuel's story with a mother who had great faith. She trusted the Lord in a hard circumstance, and she went to the Lord, and God gave her the desires of her heart. But it was in his time plan. It was on his timetable. Hannah did conceive. She had a child, it tells us. In verse 20, it came about in due time that Hannah had conceived, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. Now, you can imagine in Hannah's life, after all this time, she had been given the desires of her heart. She was given a child. And then, no doubt she forgot. But in that moment, she knows, okay, now I have to give him back. I came to the point where if God would give me this gift, I would then give him to the Lord. So after waiting all those years for a child, she then, and she wasn't totally losing him, but she was from, it says, when he was weaned, so probably between 2 and 3 years of age, she followed through on her vow to give Samuel back to service to the Lord. Can you even imagine that today in 2020? Where God, after all those years, had given a child, would then continue to allow Hannah to have such faith that she could give her toddler back to God for a life of service. Samuel's story starts with a godly mother. She's a great example for us, and she was godly in the fact that she had courageous faith in her hard circumstances. She followed through, she gave Samuel back, and so then the second part of Samuel's life, it looks as though Samuel will spend his life serving God in the temple. He would eventually become a leader for Israel. He was a military leader. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He fulfilled many roles in this season of time. He was kind of the bridge between the judges and then the time when they had a king. So Samuel, in this season of time, was used by God to accomplish great things. And it all started when God had closed the womb of a woman. God was always planning. He was always preparing. He always had his purposes in mind. When Hannah had no clue, God knew that Samuel would be the one to serve him and his people during this season of time. And so we have Samuel's story continuing with just general service to the Lord. Look at chapter 2 and verse 18. We're just going to kind of do an overview of his life, and I'm going to make some application at the end. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. So we have here Samuel going to the temple, 2 to 3, but as he grows, he serves the Lord. Look at verse 21. The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons, 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. And that specifically points to the fact that Samuel stayed in the temple. He actually grew up right there in service to the Lord. His life, from the very beginning, was concentrated on serving the Lord. Now we understand that this was always part of God's plan. And it's easy for us to look at this story in 2020 and say, boy, Hannah, man, she should have trusted the Lord more. Sam, no. That's not what we do. We have history with God. The children of Israel had plenty of history with God. But what happens many times in our lives, we get into that next circumstance where we feel like we are stuck and our faith wanes, right? Instead of, in that moment, believing God has a plan and really trusting Him, we start to look at our circumstances and we listen to our feelings many times, which our feelings don't typically match the scripture, and we allow other voices into our life, and our faith gets weak. But God always has a plan. Chapter 3 and verse 19, it says this, "Then Samuel grew, And the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. I love that phrase there, where he let none of the words of the Lord fail. He wanted to follow the Lord. He grew in the Lord. Verse 20, he's confirmed as a prophet. All Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. So as he grew in service to God, he grew in his reputation, and God confirmed him as a leader, a prophet. And it says all of the land knew that Samuel was the spiritual leader of God's people. Chapter 8, if you would turn over there, please. Chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. He will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers and his servants. And he, that's not what I was hoping for. That's a great part of it, but that's not what I was referring to. I think I typed the wrong thing there. It's in there somewhere where it says that he was the spokesperson for God's people for many, many years. And we know that as we travel through 1 Samuel, that all the way to the end of his life, God was using him as a spiritual leader. So from conception, God had a plan for Samuel's life all the way through to the end of his life. It's been so encouraging to go the last couple weeks to these funerals. And I told someone after the funeral yesterday, I said, I actually enjoy coming to these. And he's like, well, that sounds a little weird. But God says it is good to go to the house of mourning. When you go to the house of mourning, you are reminded of the big picture of life. You're reminded that there is a creator and he does have a plan. And that plan involves us, but there is an end to our plan under his plan. And so when you go to the house of mourning, you're reminded of good things, that it encourages our hearts. And to see these two ladies the last two Saturdays serve the Lord all the way to the end of their life, it's the way we should do it. It's the way we should follow. We should be willing to serve the Lord all the way to the end. Look at chapter 12, please. Chapter 12 in verses 2 through 5. Then Samuel said to all of Israel, "Behold, I have listened to your voice and all that you have said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. Now here's the king walking before you, but I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my youth even to this day." All the way to the end of Samuel's life, he could testify with a clear conscience, "I have walked with you from my youth all the way to the end." A consistent, willing heart ready to serve the Lord. He had godly character. And he kind of puts himself on trial here. He starts to ask questions to God's people. He basically is saying, "Have I fulfilled everything that I was supposed to do? Do you have any offenses to go against me?" Look back in the text. "Here I am, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed, whose ox I have taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or who have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or from whom whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you." They said, "You have not defrauded us, or oppressed us, or taken anything from any man's hand." And he said to them, "The Lord is my witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand." And they said, "He is witness." So Samuel was willing, even at the end of his life, to go before God's people and say, "Look, here I am. Has there been anything in my life that I have done wrong? I will make it right." Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. But we have some very specific things that as a leader, he could stand up and say, "Is any of this true?" And the answer from God's people is, "No. You have served the Lord faithfully." He was a man of godly character. He also had very genuine convictions. Look in the text at verse 6, and Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers up from the land. So now take your stand that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did for you and your fathers." He is convicted and convinced of God's work in the people's life all the way back from Moses and to this point. He has godly character. He has genuine convictions. And he then follows through and he gives kind of an analysis of the situation in verse 14. "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. But if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it is against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see the great things which the Lord will do before your eyes." And he then prays, and the winds and the thunder and the lightning come, and God's people stand in awe. Samuel served the Lord all of his days. That is his story. Is that your story? Reflecting on all the funerals, is that what people would say about you? You served the Lord all the way to the end. He had godly character. If there was an offense, he wanted to make it right. He trusted the Lord. He had godly convictions, genuine convictions. He knew that service to the Lord, fearing the Lord, was the best option for life. When you fear the Lord, when you trust the Lord, things will go well. Not perfect, not saying there will be a perfect life, but God's blessing, whatever form that is, will come upon your life. This was the story of Samuel's life. This was the message of Samuel's life, and God used him to do great things. He anointed the first two kings of Israel. God used him in a very intricate way, as I mentioned, being the bridge from the judges to the kings. He influenced a whole nation during this season of time. As I told you, he served as a priest, as a military leader, as a prophet of God, giving the word to the people of God. He influenced a whole nation. God always had a plan. He is known for seeking the Lord. In fact, his prayers were consistent and regular. Psalm 99 says that he called upon the Lord. He is listed there as someone who is committed to prayer. He lived a life of service. And in chapter 25 in verse 1, it's very interesting to me that when he died, the whole nation mourned him. Not a lot is said about his death, but what is said, that Samuel died and the whole nation mourned him. It all started back to chapter 3. We didn't have time to go through it when he had that experience and he thought Eli was calling him in the temple, but it actually was the Lord. First time the Lord calls him, he goes to Eli. The second time he goes to Eli, he finally understands with the help of Eli, the Lord is calling you, and Samuel's response is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And at a young age, that was his heart, and it followed him all the days of his life. So as far as application today, I want to just talk to you along three lines, and they're very simple, but I want you to get them. I want you to understand, number one, you can serve the Lord at any age. And I know that's not super profound, but I hope it's an encouragement to us today. There may be third and fourth graders, fifth graders listening to this message today, and maybe one of you would be like a Samuel, that at a young age, you would have a heart so inclined to God that you want to serve the Lord all your life, and you could perhaps fit the same testimony that the Scripture says of Samuel, that from his youth all the way to his gray hair, he served the Lord. Would that not be a glorious thing for Calvary Baptist Church to have at least one young person? We have over 100 young people in this church, but for God to get a hold of the heart of one young child to say, I want to serve the Lord all of my life. What a glorious thing that would be. One teenager who would say, I don't care about the current culture. I don't care about everything that I experience in the here and now. I am going to serve my Jesus. One teenager that would come from this assembly, who would give their life in service to Christ, and they would serve Jesus all of their days. Is there one? I specifically said at any age, because you may be retired here, but you are not finished. And you may be in the older season of your life. It is not time to check out and let the young people do it. Now, things change as far as activity and strength and ability. I totally understand that, and I would agree with you. But at any age of our lives, we should have a heart that says, speak, Lord, I hear you, and I will serve you. You are not finished. God may be taking you through a season of transition. Maybe you are retiring. Maybe you've been in a season where your kids are out of the house, and now there's a whole nother set of things for you. Don't stop serving Jesus. You may be tired. I understand that. But it is worth it. Serve Him all the way to the end. What better thing to wear out doing? Give your life to Jesus in your older years. You can serve the Lord at any age. And Samuel is a great example of a life from youth all the way to the end. He served his God. Number two, you should serve the Lord at every age. You should serve the Lord at every age. So you may be at a place right now where you remember the days when you were super involved in people's lives. Where you, when there was an opportunity to serve the Lord, with the help of the Spirit, in good ways, not being motivated by the fear of man and all those other things that we have to wrestle with, but just genuine love of Jesus, you were involved. You served Jesus. And maybe you've gotten to the point where you're distracted. Maybe it's because of the season of life that you're in and other responsibilities that have come in and it kind of distracted you. Don't stop serving Jesus no matter what age you are. He is not finished with you. So you can serve, you can serve the Lord at any age. And we should serve the Lord at every age. And those two build on each other. You may be at a point in your life where you've got some time, and we've been talking about over the last couple years, and as a man in our church, you have a desire to serve the Lord and God's people in a more intense way, and God has given you a desire for pastoral leadership, and you may not be able to jump in full time and leave your careers and things like that, but as God allows the opportunity, you could serve God's people and shepherd God's people, even on a part-time basis or a volunteer basis. If God has given you a desire, follow up on the desire. And we have men in our church who are right now in a full-time career, and they are studying at the same time to be able to someday serve God's people in an elder capacity. And that's a good and godly desire that is being worked out into the life. You've got some maturity on you. You've lived through a few things. You've learned some things in life. Invest in others. Use what God has taught you. Use what God has brought you through to serve Him and serve God's people at every age of life. And number three, you should serve God through every season of life. And I want to end with this because we understand there are good times and there are bad times. And there were seasons in Samuel's life where I'm sure it was not easy. Again, there's not a lot of detail, but to be a child growing up in a temple, no doubt that was probably a fairly hard thing to do. And then when God would ask him to do one thing after another, go before a rebellious people and confront them, that couldn't have been very easy. And then there were times when Saul is still king and God says, I want you to go anoint another person, knowing full well that Saul could possibly find out and probably would have him killed if he were to find out. But yet that's what God asked him to do, and he was willing in hard circumstances to serve the Lord. So no matter what season you're in, you don't stop serving Jesus. You don't think to yourself, well, when I get through this trial, I'm going to get back at it. No, serve God now. The seasons we go through actually only enhance our ministry. When we're real enough to be honest to say, you know what, things are not great. Things are really messy in my life. I'm still trusting Jesus, and you can too. That actually speaks louder than someone who has it all together and everything looks picture perfect. Serve God in every season. He continued to serve the Lord even when his children didn't. Very interesting in chapter 8 in verse 5. It's very clear that Samuel's sons did not follow in his path. And he continued to serve the Lord. Mom and dad, don't quit. Don't quit. Even if you don't see the seeds of the gospel taking fruit in your children or your grandchildren's lives, don't quit serving him. May that be the testimony that you give your children, not caving and falling to the pressure and the culture that gives us a perspective that the here and now is all that matters. Samuel continued to serve the Lord when his children didn't. It's been a challenging year with COVID. I understand that. Most of us have never lived through anything like this. And I'm not getting into any of the politics of it or the opinions on it. I'm getting into just the very fact that God allowed something into our lives that we were not prepared for. And there are a lot of ways that it affects us personally and as a church. But it does not mean that we hit pause in our service to God. We keep serving Him. Now, it possibly changes, and I am in complete favor of those who are in a situation physically where they should not be at certain places at certain times because of the conditions that they have. I am in complete agreement with all of those things. And I've said that, we've said it as a pastoral team from day one. But if you're using COVID as an excuse to not serve Jesus, I'm just telling you, you're wrong. And so every person does have to wrestle with their own conscience before the Lord. Am I using this circumstance as an excuse to do more of the stuff that I actually love and that our family loves? Or am I using this season of time to enhance my walk with God and being willing to serve Him no matter the cost? And every person must wrestle with that in 2020. And I've said very little from day one about this, but I think it's appropriate application for the message today that there are hard seasons of life, good and bad. We still keep serving the Lord. And you may not have as much contact with people, but that doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity and responsibility to connect with people. We live in a day that we are more connected than ever before, but yet it seems like sometimes we, in situations like this, we are like, I really don't feel like it. I'm just going to kind of do my own little thing and stay in my own little world. And no, that is not God's will for you. Pray for divine appointments. I read one article that said, pray for divine appointments in COVID-19, where we know that God has a plan and God wants to use us and he's always accomplishing his purposes. Pray for divine appointments that what very little contact you may have with people, that you would use them for God's glory and God would accomplish his purposes through your life in this very difficult season of time. And they may not be face-to-face. They could be through a text, through a letter, through an email, through a phone call, whatever it is. You still need to connect with God's people, and we still need to serve the Lord. Pray that you will know when your plans are getting in the way of God's plans. This is where I go back to every believer has a responsibility to wrestle with this. Pray about it. God, help my plans not to get in the way of your plans. It's easy for me to just say, I'll catch the service this week and, you know, we'll go here or whatever. And I'm fine with recreation. Trust me, you know my heart. I'm not saying I'm not rigid, like you have to do this and this and this. But when you have adopted a lifestyle where you say, you know what, local church right now, I'm just going to kind of, and that doesn't mean you have to be present, but you have to be engaged in God's people. Courageous faith is a willing faith at any age, at every age, and during every season of time, good or bad. I read some statistics in an article, and we'll close with this, about just an evaluation of COVID in the North American church. I'm sure there's application in church across the world, but says that when COVID-19 first it caused churches to close the door, there was a lot of optimism and even celebration. And churches, I remember having conversations, people would view how many people online watched it, and they would take away that, wow, this is really great. We're reaching more people than we ever have. And to some degree, that's true. Someone texted me this morning from South Africa saying they watch on a regular basis. Someone yesterday from North Carolina told me they watch on a regular basis. God is giving us opportunity to serve a variety of people around the world. But there was optimism that God was actually going to grow his church, but the reality was that soon the views on digital worship services began to drop. And churches of all sizes were reporting decline in their online attendance, and some of the solutions even became more troubling that people would come up with. They were starting to offer pre-service trivia games, gift card giveaways, and even one where they would cut out in the video to like watch the youth pastor get a haircut and all these crazy ideas that really don't represent worship. Well, that didn't work. So the Barna Research Group that has presented some of this information says almost 1 in 3 practicing Christians has stopped attending church altogether during COVID-19. Pastor Jerry sent us an article this week that I think it was 1 in 5 churches will close as the result of COVID-19. And this author says whether it's the losing of the routine, sometimes it's like, well, we get up on Sundays, this is what we do, and we get up, we go to church, but losing that routine, some of it's the lack of accountability. Well, no one's really going to ask where, you know, if I watched it or not, if I was there or not. 32% of practicing Christians who attended church in person stopped doing so when the church went online. Now, this is as a whole, but imagine that number. 32% of practicing Christians stopped the regular intake of God's word. That is astounding. And it's actually against the scripture. The research showed that it wasn't just the older generation because they couldn't figure out the technology. Actually, it was the younger Christians that more likely were to have dropped out. While a third of Christians didn't bother to attend church online, the number actually climbs to 50% of millennial Christians from 26 to 40 years of age. Technology was not the issue. Some have said maybe this is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew when he said their love would grow cold. Well, in that context, he was talking about persecuted Christians. We live in a day where you can sit on your couch and turn the whatever instrument on and drink your latte and watch church, and it still isn't convenient enough for people. Now, this is the North American church. I'm not talking specifically about Calvary. Actually, we have been very encouraged as a pastoral team that there has been great commitment on God's people. And we have sensed that. We have seen that. You have communicated with us. Someone told me this week, don't think my attendance here is the lack of a being here, but it gave me a very specific reason that made sense for this season of time, and that's happened over and over and over. So if you're listening today, know that we love you and we care for you and we understand. But there may be those in our church family that are using this as an excuse to just enjoy your life a little bit more. And your willingness to serve the Lord is actually waning during this season of time. And I would challenge you, God has not changed. His plan has not changed. He is going to use all of these things for His glory. So His desires for you, His simple desires from His people, is that they would regularly assemble, whether it's here or together with us online. I'm okay with that. But there would be a regular commitment of assembling with God's people where the preaching of the word would be a priority, where the singing of the word is a priority. Churches in California today are being threatened because they're singing. And I was thinking about that this morning, how wonderful it is to be in South Carolina where we can sing to the Lord. He's asked very little of us. He's asked us to give of the first fruits of our increase. And I do concur with Pastor Jerry that God has provided for us this year, but there are folks in our church who have not given a dime all year. That's just reality. And I don't check the names or anything like that, but those are statistics that have been given to me. Like, God's will does not change in a pandemic. He's really asked very little of us. But because of what we have been given in Christ, we should be willing to say, God, you've asked this. I want to give you everything. As Romans 12 says, a living sacrifice. In 2020, what does a living sacrifice look for you as a child of God? I know what it shouldn't look like that you hit pause on your service for Him. Should not look like that. If anything, it's an opportunity to increase our time to spend with Him, to serve God's people, to love others, to pray for others. You can serve the Lord at any age. You should serve the Lord at every age and during every season of life. Would you bow with me as we close? Please know my heart that I am so thankful for the people of Calvary Baptist Church. And I don't have one person on my mind that I'm thinking about. I'm literally responding to a study about a life, a real person who lived on God's timetable, that from a youth gave his heart to serve Jesus and did that at every age, in every season, all the way to the end. And Samuel sets forth a wonderful example of what our lives should look like. Would you evaluate your service to the Lord in 2020? Are you serving him with vigor and energy and consistency? Or have you let the circumstances that we've gone through just allow you to get a little lazy? God has loved us so much. And he's given us so much that we should in turn give our lives as a sacrifice to him. Will you recalibrate your priorities? Will you refocus your thinking and your schedule to reflect a heart that says, God, use me. Give me divine appointments. Give me opportunity to use my gifts, what you have taught me. Help me to use it for your glory. Our Father in heaven, we come to you as your people, concluding our worship today, but asking you to continue to work in our lives, that we would take the example of Solomon to heart, or Samuel to heart, that we would want to serve you all of our days. God, I pray that you would help our young people to want to follow you. God, I pray that you would help our older folks to want to follow you. At any age, at every age, in every season, use us, God. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, that someday all of our service and our willingness to sacrifice for you, it will be worth it, and we will understand what it means that you are one that rewards those who seek you. Lord, we look forward to that day. Keep us faithful till it comes. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.